Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. And what we're going to do tonight is I just want to cover two things. I like to cover the reflection. That's something it's a great thing to do right around this time of year. Usually I teach this in between Christmas and New Year's, but the way things kind of roll this year, we won't be having a class next week, obviously. This is kind of a little bit of two things in one here. There's two kind of quotes. These refer more to the reflection part. But by three methods, we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is noblest. Second, by imitation, which is easiest. And third, by experience, which is the bitterest. And so again, reflection, you know, is what we're going to focus on here, because it's probably one of the most effective ways to learn and to make things easier for us. And there's one of the quote I love, right? Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. So again, this is more speaking to the reflection part, which we're going to get to in 1 second. But I just wanted to cover, you know, just real quick here, just a couple healthy holiday ideas. We've been talking a bit, you know, over the last couple of weeks, just about kind of staying calm, staying relaxed during what for a lot of people is a more stressful time of year. And so just a few ideas just to kind of maintain things, you know, over the next week or so, next couple of weeks. The first one, again, is to keep up your base health habits, right? So again, this allows you, the paradigm that precedes this is that we're not going to be all or nothing. Right. So again, Christmas time and I can't eat perfect, so I'm not going to eat well at all. But we're not doing that anymore. We're going to be something. And again, the something really becomes, let me focus in on the health habits. You know, sleep's the big one we've been talking about. Water's a big one, to just kind of really make sure that you're relaxing and breathing a little bit here and there. Again, if you can get the nourishment, right? So even if you eat a little extra, or you don't eat the healthiest stuff, still make sure that you're getting some nourishment in your body, you know, on a regular basis. So again, you know, keep all those healthy habits. Water intake, you know, is one of the key ones. When you focus on your water intake, again, you kind of naturally, you're reinforcing a health mindset. You're helping your body digest the food you're eating. You're helping your body work more efficiently, you know, on and on. So again, even if you're not going to eat perfectly, you know, really double down on these health habits. Get the sleep and rest when you can. Okay. So, you know, again, this is a great time of year where if you get the opportunity to go to bed a little bit earlier, you know, take it. If you get the opportunity to take a nap, take it. If you can sleep in a little extra, take it. Okay. Because again, no matter what, even if there was no holiday season, as you heard me say, it's a time of in nature that's just darker, and it's the appropriate time, I think, to kind of replenish the rest. All right. So again, any sleep and rest you can get, I would suggest that you make that one of the top goals health-wise, you know, in addition to the water. Use the hunger scale, right? So when we talk about the hunger scale, right, 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely totally stuffed, you couldn't eat another thing, you can hardly even move, 1 being absolutely totally famished. So using the hunger scale means that we're conscious and aware of what our weight is. We don't want to let ourselves, you know, walk into a Christmas dinner at a level 1 or 2 of hunger. Right? That's setting us up for failure. So again, this kind of goes in line with the nourishment, which we're talking about here, the hunger scale and the nourishment. So if you have a Christmas dinner coming up and, you know, there's gonna be cookies and appetizers and, you know, lots of food there, instead of getting ourselves, and again, we talked about this for Thanksgiving, but instead of letting ourselves get totally starving and then walking into that scenario, we want to make sure that we're managing our hunger scale. Again, for me, and again, it depends. Some people like to eat early. Like when I wake up, I eat usually within about a half hour. That feels right to me. I've always done that. Some people like to eat later, like to be up for a couple hours first. Whatever, you know, whatever works for you, but manage it so that you don't want your hunger, and again, it's kind of a weird scale because it's 1 to 10, but you don't want your hunger getting into the 1, 2, 3 range where you get really, really hungry, okay? Because that's when, you know, we have to work extra hard to eat the right foods. And so if we keep our hunger scale right in the middle, so we're comfortable, it's just naturally a lot easier to eat the right amount of food, to choose the right foods and eat the right amounts of them. Okay. And again, when you do those things, right, when you're focusing on your water, getting at least the minimum amount of water in, when you're focusing on your sleep and your rest, and if you're able to get that, if you're using the hunger scale and you're nourishing yourself to a certain degree, then this next one becomes easy, where you're experimenting with enjoying yourself without over-consuming. And again, this is kind of a bonus one almost. You don't have to do this, but it can be pretty, I don't know, to me, it's always been exciting when you have these food-based situations, whether it be a holiday or vacation or parties, and you go to them and you don't stuff yourself and you still have a great time. Okay. And so what you're doing there is you're really kind of disconnecting the association a lot of times we put together of food and enjoyment, right? They don't have to be stuck together. Okay. And again, one way to make that happen is to practice mindful eating. So again, enjoy the hell out of the food, right? It really, really enjoy it. But again, ironically, the more you actually are present and enjoying it and eating mindfully, the better your eating will typically be. Okay. It's when we're not paying attention, we're just kind of mindlessly stuffing our face that we tend to overeat and choose the wrong foods. So even when you're going to these dinners or eating cookies, I don't want you to go into denial about it. That's what happens sometimes. We say, oh God, now I'm eating cookies. I'm blowing everything. I'm ruining everything. We get ourselves all worked up. And when in reality, if we actually just were present and said, man, this cookie is delicious, and we eat it a little bit slower, we appreciate the flavor and we're mindful of it. Okay. And again, one part of being mindful is staying connected to your relaxation, your breathing, you know, and really enjoy the food. But again, kind of eat like a gourmet, right? So mindful eating, again, you're present, you're aware of it. That extra step is to eat like a gourmet where you're appreciating the texture, the flavors, you know, the presentation, how it looks, you know, all of these factors. And the more mindful you become of while you're eating, again, almost automatically, you will naturally eat less and choose the right foods. Okay. So here's a couple ideas just to, you know, help you really win through the holidays. And again, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Typically these situations will be a couple days here and there, a couple meals here and there. But if you get through them and you've eaten well, it can be a real boost to the confidence. Okay. Cause if you can do it during the holidays, you do it in these special occasions, then you can do it in any situation. Okay. So it's a nice ego boost. All right. So getting back to reflection, and again, this is almost, you know, this is something you could sit down and listen to this lesson next week. Again, it'll be up in the members area. Because this is part's really important. And I would strongly suggest you do this because it does a couple things, right? So let's kind of just hop into it. So now we're talking about reflection. And so we want to make this a yearly habit. And so you can do this more, but certainly, I think the big mistake people make, right, is when it comes to the new year, it's always just forward looking. So you know, January 1st is coming, I'm going to lose 30 pounds, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. But really what's going to happen is if you just do it that way, typically you're just going to repeat the same mistakes. You're going to say the same things and you're just going to get the same results. The real secret is to take a look backwards and to learn. And so we talk about this all the time, right? I mean, again, you want to be doing this literally almost daily, like, okay, how did they go? That didn't go well. What could I have done differently? But looking at it on a yearly basis, there's something psychological about it. And again, when it comes to weight loss, we're always looking to expand that time frame. So reflecting on it on a yearly basis at the beginning of the year, I think is really helpful. And again, there's a lot of momentum for it, like culturally, that, okay, here's the beginning of the year, it's new starts. And so let's take advantage of that, okay? So again, we'll make this a yearly habit and you'll do it again next year, right? And so kind of an active and a general reflection. And what I mean by that is that, again, we can go into specific moments of the year or situations, you know what I mean, that you weren't happy with or that you were happy with. And you can also just kind of generally, you know, in general, how did the year go for yourself, right? So some of it's specific and some of it's just kind of a general thing. And it almost becomes, what I mean by active in general as well is that sometimes you'll sit down and you might, I'll give you a few kind of exercises you could go through, which is a more active thing. But even generally, let this, not so much right now maybe, but after Christmas, you know, that week between Christmas and New Year's, let it be kind of a general reflection time. You know what I mean? Where again, you just, even when you're just driving to the store or you're, you know, walk around the mall or whatever you may do and watching TV, you just kind of let yourself reflect on the year, right? And so again, I strongly suggest you use the week for that, okay? And so again, we want to change perspective. We want to see the bigger picture. And that's why I think this year timeframe can be really valuable because just by, it's just what it is, right? I mean, we're about to close out a year. It's just got its all this natural kind of bookends to it that can be really helpful. We want to utilize that. And so just by thinking in a year this way, it's really a special opportunity, I feel like, to take this time of year and think of it, again, the big picture, it lends itself to that. And so you can start thinking in terms of a year, think in terms of a couple years, decades, you know, where you want to be. And that can be really instrumental in kind of your motivation and your behavior and the results you're going to get. You know, when you start to notice things, and again, this will make sense, a little more sense in a moment, But really, Ray, this process, what we're always looking to do is to make the unconscious conscious, right? To become aware of, you know, why we're getting the results we're getting. And so again, we use this opportunity to do that. And so part of this whole process, though, really, though, is we're really looking, again, we want to acknowledge and accept and be happy about the good things we did, for sure. But we also, almost most importantly, want to acknowledge the mistakes, you know, where we kind of fell short. Because again, we're always looking to improve, always looking to grow. And this time of year is a magic time of year where we really have a unique perspective, right? And with, again, we acknowledge that we made mistakes and we're okay with that. That's fine. It's normal. It's human. If you didn't make mistakes, it's just because you weren't trying. You know, that's my opinion. There's no one not making mistakes. And the more mistakes you make, to me, typically means the harder you were trying, the more you were looking to do. And so again, we acknowledge them, but the flip side is that there's no judgments and there's no regrets. We want to utilize the pain, right? So in the next one, we'll explain this. Your brain gives up pain for learning. So if, you know, as far as some of the mistakes we make, if we just stay in the mistakes and just keep saying, oh, you jerk, you did that. Oh, you loser, you made a mistake and you screwed up and you're never going to change. When we look at it that way, we're just surrounded by pain and we're stuck in it. However, when we look at the mistakes we made and we say, oh, okay, I see what I did there. And I can see, oh yeah, over the year, I kind of screwed up here. What could I have done differently? That's always kind of the magic question that allows us to say, okay, that was a mistake. And if I could do it all over again, I could have done this thing. And that's what we're after, is that solution. And again, I'm telling you, it's like, it's a unique perspective we get this time of year. And so sometimes we can make distinctions that we just are kind of blind to at other times of the year. All right. So again, it's not a judgment thing. We all make mistakes. There's not regrets, right? Again, it is what it is. And you're okay with that. And again, you have to be okay with it, because that will allow you to see probably some of the more important mistakes. And the more mistakes you can kind of see, the more clarity you can have to create the solution. Okay. And then again, yeah, we want to use our 2020 vision, right? That we say that hindsight's 2020, perfect, right? So again, we don't know what's coming up, but if we can look back at in time, we can really start to notice patterns that we're repeating and get a different perspective on them. And again, hopefully come up with better solutions. All right. And then ultimately we want to visualize the new year with our learned lessons. And so again, we'll kind of imagine 1 year from now, fixing that mistake and changing it, where will we be? Okay. Again, it's a great time to do that. So here's just a couple questions. And like I said, this one here, you're obviously not doing this now. So I would suggest strongly if you could take a half hour and just, again, you can either watch this lesson and kind of go through it with a notebook and pause it, whatever. You can write down these questions and just go, you know, go to a coffee shop or something and answer them. But it would be very, very valuable to you. All right. So here's some things you can ask, right? Where were you last year at this time? Now, again, this is going to be an annual pattern, hopefully, you know, until you reach and absolutely master your goal. But where were you last time at this year? Last year at this time. And again, with your weight, your health, and your wisdom, it's not all just weight, right? If you put 10 pounds on, but you've really learned a lot about yourself and you figured out some different distinctions that are going to help you propel you to success in the future, that's fine. Okay. So again, we don't want to just look at weight. And if the weight didn't go down where we wanted to, then it's a failure. We've got to look at it with more things, right? So again, whatever the weight was, and that's why I'm saying, if you do this year after year, until you reach your goal and master it, this can be really, really helpful, because what we're doing here is we're also expanding that time frame. Because a lot of times people are looking at their weight loss, again, in short-term time frames and days, weeks, and months. And this starts to get you in that longer time frame. So again, we look at the weight. We look at the health. Okay, so this is the habits that you installed. Are you drinking more water? Are you sleeping better? Are you more relaxed? Are you nourishing your body a bit more? Right. And so you go all through the health habits, and then wisdom. And like I said, the wisdom, really, sometimes in the earlier stages of change, we're really accumulating wisdom and understanding of who we are, and then we're going to implement it. Okay. So I say this to you, if you didn't reach the weight loss goals that you wanted, okay, we don't want to just be like, it was a failure of a year. Because if you learn things about yourself that you're going to use to implement, you know, changes that are going to help you reach your goal next year, then maybe that's just your path. Okay. So again, we want to look at this very optimistically and very solution oriented wise. Think of a few milestones over the year, right? And so this is whatever you think are milestones, you know, in terms of your weight, your health, and your wisdom. And again, I would suggest you write them out in chronological order. And so what I mean by that is, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe like in February you joined a gym, or maybe, you know, in, I don't know, August you stopped drinking. In September, I started going to bed at, you know, 10 o'clock, whatever it may be, whatever the milestones are for you. And again, there's really, I keep this very loose, you know, it's a very loose definition, but when you reflect over your year, and again, I would suggest that you know, again, well, right here, this is how I would suggest you do. You close your eyes, you relax, and you play the year out in your mind. Okay. So, there's kind of a two-step, right? So you start with the milestones, anything that just kind of pops in your head. Some things may pop in your head and some things may not. If they do, you write them down in chronological order. Then you take a few moments and you just relax and you play the year out in your mind. And again, some of the other milestones you could think of is just certain things that happened in your year, right? So these are life milestones. So maybe, you know, you got a new car, or maybe you moved, or, you know, maybe something else happened. And again, as you think about that, what they become is markers for our memory. Right. And so then you close your eyes and you play the year out in your mind. And what this will do is your mind will bring into focus things that were important to you. Okay. Good or bad. And then we notice them. And so again, you notice which things stand out as you play the year through in your mind, and stay connected to your breathing and your relaxation and just kind of play it through again, very objectively. You're not getting attached to the emotions of the year, whether it was good or bad. You're really just kind of hovering over your year, just kind of watching how it went. Right. And again, this could be very, very helpful. And so now we move into becoming aware, right? So these are the questions you may want to write down and answer. What decisions helped you and which decisions hurt you? Okay. And so again, as you play the year through, it's a unique perspective that we don't typically have. Let's make use of it. And so what decisions that you made over the year helped you? Right? What decisions that you made? Big ones, small ones? You can identify them. And as you do this again, I would suggest you do this in a focused state, not like right now, but again, kind of going with the guidance I just gave you, because these things will be on the tip of your mind. When you replay your year over in your mind, these questions will kind of answer themselves. All right. So what decisions helped you? Which decisions hurt you? Right. What would you have done differently? Which decisions that you made weren't the right ones? And again, it's all, hey, you did what you did. You made the best decision at the time you could make, you know, but now it's an opportunity to kind of look back and say, oh, that decision didn't help me at all. Okay. And then we can change it. What behaviors helped you, right? If you made any shifts, which behaviors were real key? And then consequently, which behaviors hurt you? The flip side of it. Right. And again, and now when you're looking at a year, just again, it's a different perspective on it. We get it. You know what I mean? We don't get so caught up in the kind of minutiae of it and just the overwhelmingness of it in the moment. We can kind of look at it from a distance. And so a lot of times it'll just feel different. You'll learn different things. Which situations helped you? Which ones hurt you? And so situations meaning, you know, when I was alone at the house by myself that night, that hurt me. You know, when I went to the gym, right, that helped me. When I joined, you know, the book club, that helped me because it helped take my mind off stuff and gave me something to do. You know what I mean? So those types of situations, whatever situations helped you or hurt you, which people, right? Again, which people were helpful and which people, and again, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, right? But sometimes there's people when we're around them, we kind of are helping ourselves, right? And we're a better version of ourselves. And sometimes when we're around certain people, we kind of sabotage ourselves a little bit. Let's not put the blame on them so much, right? It's always a focus on us. Really, all of these things here are really, except for the decisions part, but they're really all kind of like, they're cues, they're triggers. And so people, again, we're not putting the blame on them, right? We could say, oh, every time I'm around Joe, you know, I end up drinking a bunch of beer. Okay, great. It's not about saying I can't hang out with Joe or Joe's a bad person. He's doing this to me. It's about saying, okay, I need to be more aware that, you know, when I'm, again, you got to go right down the line here. When I'm with Joe and we go to the bar, I drink too much, right? And that's hurting me. That's sabotaging me. So again, it's kind of that thing. And so the solution might be, again, it could be a number of solutions. I'm not going to hang out with Joe anymore, I'm going to hang out with Joe, but instead we're going to go to the bookstore and just hang out. No alcohol. I'm going to go with Joe to the bar, but I'm going to limit myself to one beer. So you know what I mean? Like there's flexibility here, but the first step really needs to become awareness, right? To figure out where the problems are. And again, a lot of times what we're doing here is we're going deeper into the problems. You know, when we have challenges, we're making mistakes. We want to go deeper into it. We don't just want to say, oh, that's, I got to stop drinking. That's too general, right? We want to get more specific and figure out what the solution can be. Habits. Right? Which habits helped you? Which ones hurt you? Okay. So we have good and bad habits. It's your opportunity to look at them. And again, you're looking at them on a bigger thing. I can tell you like right away, when I think habits, what helped me and what hurt me, the first one that pops in my head is the same. Sleep. When I get the proper amount of sleep, when I go to bed at the right time, it really, really helps me. And when I didn't go to bed at the right time, when I didn't get the proper amount of sleep, it hurt me. And it really did hurt me. Like it was a huge anchor. You know, so that's just one that just even talking to you, that's popping right in my head. And again, I'm going to go through this process and I'll get more specific. Right. So again, there's no right or wrong answer. You don't have to have a certain amount of answers. Again, a lot of it's pretty intuitive. Once you run your year through in your mind, these answers make themselves pretty obvious. Okay. So next step becomes lessons learned. Right. And so this is where it gets really interesting. This is the value of all of it, really. Again, awareness is super, but awareness is just that first step. And so the next step is, what are the lessons learned here? And it is knowing what you know now, what are the top three things you would have done differently this past year? Right. And so again, they might be major things. They might be minor things. It doesn't matter. Again, we just want to know, what are the top three things you would have done differently this past year if you go back in time and relive it? This is a great question. Okay. When we don't think about it, again, most people, oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to start at the gym. And, you know, but again, we have unconscious patterns that sabotage us, right? If you've been struggling with your weight for 20 years, it's not just a conscious decision to say, oh, you know what? That's it. This year, I'm just going to do it. You know, it's unconscious patterns that we have to uncover. And so that's why I say, even if your weight didn't go down at all this year, you know, or if you put 20 pounds on, even if that happened, again, if you were paying attention, it allows you to recognize where the problems are. And we all have to figure out where the problems are so we can fix them if we're ever going to be able to get to the goals we want. Okay. So again, knowing what you know now, what are the top three things you would have done differently this past year? And then again, what would you have done instead? Right? How would you have changed it? And then once you've figured those out, what I would suggest, you take a few moments and you replay the year again as if you had done those things, right? And then think to yourself, what would have been different? And I just want to mention, right? So we're doing the mental programming. And it's just fun. It's light. So I don't want you to, it's not like you have to visualize every day of the year, every month of the year, even. That's why you want to kind of pick the milestones and again, you want to put them in chronological order, because that's how your mind remembers stuff. And once you bring up those milestones, your mind will naturally start to fill in the blanks between them. Okay, so it's a very natural, automatic process. Again, just to have fun, it's light, it's enjoyable. And then when you ask these questions again, what are the top three things you would have done differently? What would you have done instead? Now you replay the year again as if you'd done those. And because you've already done the milestone stuff and gone back in time and played it through, you know, again, your brain will fill in the blanks and kind of create a new year and what it would have been for you and how it would have been different. Okay. So that's kind of it. And that's it. That's all. That's really all you need to do. And I think that alone is so valuable, because again, it'll give you distinctions that you're not usually making. So there's a few other ways to reflect, right? Again, you can write in a journal. And again, I'm a huge fan of taking this time of year. You know, like some people, right? The first of the year is always the resolution time, right? And so they do that every year, resolutions. And I think that's fine, but I think this is way more important, especially since you're already on the path. You know what I mean? Like to be honest, like for you at this point, because you guys are already in this program, already actively working on something, for you, the resolutions are going to be less important than the reflection and the realizations, right? You've put the work in now. And so let's maximize the value of all that work by learning from what you've already done. I'm telling you, this is a stage that most people never do. And it's just, there's so much gold to mine from this process. Because there's so many lessons you can learn from doing this that'll help you next year. But so here's some other ways to kind of reflect on the year, right? So that's kind of one specific one I kind of brought you through. But even writing in a journal just about the last year, you can kind of use the questions and the guide I was giving you just to kind of reflect on what you did, what you would have done differently, how it will affect you you know, how it would have affected you over the year and how it's going to affect you, you over the next year. Take a walk, right? That gets the brain working, right? So this is the kind of the general reflection I was talking about. Like, take a walk and just kind of mull over the year. You know what I mean? And some of the bigger things kind of pop in there and make themselves obvious. Laying in bed, right? In the morning, you just kind of, you're in that super relaxed state. You know what I mean? Just kind of reflect on things and play through in your mind. So what I'm saying is, again, this reflection, it's kind of amorphous. I mean, we went through a specific way to do it, but I would suggest doing that. But then even beyond that, over the next, you know, couple weeks here, is just let yourself reflect on what you've done. You know what I mean? Because that's what's going to help you learn how to do things even better. Listening to music, right? Can kind of put you in a mood and just allows your mind to wander a bit. It's helpful. And then, you know, bath, shower, and hot tub. Those are nice. They all change your state, right? And so again, there's other ways beyond this, but these are some nice ways to allow your brain just kind of, you know, free itself and just kind of reflect on the year and how it went for you. Okay. So there we are. That is that. And I hope that is useful for you. And if you do it, it will be. I promise you it will be. All right. So Connie says, glad to have Halo oranges handy and almonds. Yes, for sure. Right? Absolutely. Connie said, if I start eating cookies, I quickly zone out, then wake up to, oh my God, what I just do. I'm okay if the cookies are out of sight. Yeah, right. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. The season, right, and especially the whole holiday thing starts to take on a life of its own. So again, that's why, by the way, though, that's why the habits are there, right? So if you can, here's a good strategy. You know, you avoid and keep yourself on track as long as you can. You know what I mean? And then when you're actually finally in those situations, enjoy yourself, but don't let go of the other habits, right? So the big one I hold on to, again, sleep's a big one. I like to do that. But my number one without question is water. And so even when I'm in the situation where, you know, the appetizers are all there, the desserts are all there, all the food's there, I'm still in my head. The alcohol's there. I'm still in my head. Let me get my water. Let me make sure I drink my water. And so I really use that to manage things. It's almost like the water is like a cheat for the hunger scale in a sense, because if you drink a bunch of water, you typically feel a little more full and then it's easier to make the right food decisions. So water, I think, is probably the most practical, you know, habit you can use or skill you can use to kind of stay in control. So, avoid the cookies for as long as you can. And then when you eat them again, we want to have a number of strategies, right? Avoid them when you don't need to have them be around them. When you're eating them, eat like a gourmet, which may sound counterintuitive. Some people say, well, if I enjoy every bite of the cookie, I'm just going to want more. Ironically, no, because when you eat mindfully, A, you're eating slower. You're more connected to the food that you're eating. So again, you're giving your brain and your body a chance to signal you that you've had enough. Okay. Just typically when you eat more mindfully and appreciate every little bite, something happens. You know what I mean? Like when we're eating, like think about this, right? When you start a meal and when you're totally done with a meal, your taste buds change. The food tastes different to you. And so when you eat mindfully, it kind of encourages that process as well. So again, keep those in mind as well. You don't have to be scared of the cookies is what I'm saying. And then once you eat them again, enjoy them. And then remember, you know, once it's over, it's over. So Connie says, over 2018, my decisions helped me more often than hurt me. The one decision I made that hurt me was to give up my regular exercise class. Perfect, Connie. That's what I'm talking about. And see, that's the value of the year-end reflection is you realize stuff like that. You know, exactly like that. Like I got one and it's funny. This isn't because I do this with everything, by the way. So you can do this with your whole life. It doesn't just have to be weight health related. But there's one, I'll give you an example of what I mean here. And that's a great example, but I'll give you one more is when I look back the year and I've kind of started to do this, I start to kind of generally kind of, in a kind of a vague way, I start reflecting on the year right around now. And so one of the things I thought about is that my kids were in a swim class for about 6 months and then I took them out and I was like, oh yeah, we'll do family swim. Oh, we didn't do that. And so they haven't swum. And so that was a mistake. You see what I mean? So it doesn't have to be, it's not a life or death stuff. You know what I mean? It's little things that you just don't think about or realize. And so when you look at it with a year frame, it all of a sudden just kind of comes into view, but that's a great one, Connie. And so again, you know, it becomes, oh, I gave up my regular exercise class and so it becomes, am I want to sign up for it again? Or do I want to do something else? You know, maybe kind of that sounds like it for you. Because you say, at least I'm back to my regular walking, right? So that becomes one that helped you. So that's super. If I'd stayed at the exercise class that I enjoyed, I'd be wearing the red Antonio Milani dress this Christmas. That is super, right? Kind of, you know how to do this. So that's exactly it. That's almost like a bonus move that happens naturally. You identify whatever the kind of mistake you made was, or the habit that didn't work out the way you wanted to or hurt you. And then you say, what I would have done instead, if I had stuck with the class, I think I would probably be X amount of pounds lighter. I'd be able to wear that dress. I'd be able to do this thing. This would have happened, you know? And so you recognize that, you kind of reframing it. That's another little aspect here. We didn't go into this, but what's happening is so much of change is really reframing the way we think about something. And so I'm just going to guess here, Connie, but that exercise class, like when it kind of left your life, it's probably like, it's not a big deal. I'll just make it up somewhere else, or it won't be a big, you know, who cares, is probably kind of how it went. And then all of a sudden over time, you realize, no, that actually that class was a lot more important than I realized. So you understand, that's what I mean about this process. This is the subtle part of it. It's not that at the moment you said, oh, that exercise is really important to me. That exercise class is really important. I'm just going to stop doing it. That's not how it went. You probably just devalued it or undervalued it. And then you said, okay, it's not gonna make that big of a deal. Well, now you look at the end of the year and you say, wow, actually that exercise class affected this and this and this and this. And actually it was way more important than I thought. So the change we're making is not a willpower thing. It's a reframing of it where you're revaluing it and you're valuing it appropriately. And that is so much of change, is how we think about something. And so now it becomes, from this moment forward for you, is that exercise class is really important for me, because it helps me do this, 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 and this, and I can wear the dresses I want. I feel better about myself and blah, 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 blah. And so now we reframe it. Now it's going to make it easier to kind of get yourself to do it. Okay. Yep. And so Carol says, meditation, one new thing that I've recently incorporated in the last month, a lesson learned. Yeah. And that's super. And I know we talked about that, Carol. So I'm super glad that you played with it. And that's what I want to make a point too. It's not like, I can't tell you how important this is, because, you know, what I want, why I love the year thing, is that it really encourages that long-term thinking. And long-term thinking, one of the biggest values of it is it's more accurate thinking, because the truth is we can't just, I should meditate. And then say, I'm going to meditate. And then we think we're just going to meditate perfectly. Like there's no way. That just is not how change happens. How it happens is, if we're lucky, we start it and we start doing it for a little bit. And now we have some evidence to play with, right? So we kind of meditate a little bit, and maybe it relaxes us and it calms our mind down a little bit. And we do it sometimes, we don't do it others. But what's happening is not just us doing it, it's kind of building up the value that we place on it. And we can only build that up through experience, positive and negative ones. Again, I can tell you, I do this. I did this year. I meditate for a bit. I love it. It's great. Everything's awesome. Then I stop doing it a little bit. And now I don't beat myself up. I put my energy into saying, why is that important to me? Is it important to me? Yeah, it does this, 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 and this. And so you just said that, Carol, but that for me too will be another one, is the meditation, where I did it. I did it for the first 6 months, then I took a break for 2 months, then I did it for a couple months, and then it kind of fell off. And when it fell off that second time, that was a problem. And so that's a lesson learned. As you said, lesson learned. And so that goes in now, not a lesson learned like, I'm a bad person, I'm going to force myself to do it. Lesson learned, wow, that meditation is really important in my life. If I want to live the quality of life that I truly desire, meditation has to be a part of it. And that is the big lesson that I learned this year. So you see what I mean? It's not about, hey, Jim, you better not miss any more meditations. You better get back on that pillow. You better meditate. You know what I mean? It's not that willpower, forceful thing. It's really like, let me reevaluate it. And again, is it important or is it not? It is. It's important because of this, 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 and this. And I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't stopped doing it for a little bit and realized the kind of downfall in some of the things that it created. Okay. So it's that kind of energy. Yep. Connie says, eat mindfully. Yes, I can do that. Right. And if you don't, that's okay too. But yeah, if you do it again, we want to stack strategies. We're never going to rely on just one strategy. Ideally, we want to kind of stack them. And so again, like I used to the example of like Thanksgiving Day, you know what I mean? It's like, we don't want to just not eat anything until the dinner. We're going to eat like crazy. Again, we want to manage our hunger. You know what I mean? We drink some water. When we finally get to eating, eat a little more slowly, eat a little more mindfully. So we're using all of these different strategies, you know, to get the results we want and enjoy ourselves. Yeah, Carol started late today. Yeah, okay, Carol. So, and again, I would suggest, you know, you go through that middle part, you don't listen to all of it necessarily, but definitely those questions, you can write them down or just kind of listen to this with a notepad. And even if you just do it in 10 minutes, you know, again, it's very, very valuable. Yep, Connie says this class gave me focus and structure plus contact with nice people. That's right, right? It's always nice. Nice connecting with you guys every week. All right, everyone. So yeah, you know, have a great week here. Enjoy yourself. You know what I mean? And so I really want to, I didn't go into that again. I get tired of saying that, but it really is, and I'm not telling you to go crazy with your food. You understand that, but it's a great week to kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit. Okay. And so if you eat a little extra, if you drink a little extra, do things that aren't the healthiest, it's okay. Okay. But again, enjoy yourself, relax, because what you want to be thinking about is when the new year starts, again, there's kind of this natural motivation. It's like a fresh start, all the rest of it. And so prepare yourself for that. And the number one way you can do that, again, is getting the sleep and the energy so that when January 1st hits, you know what I mean? You're kind of energized, you're focused. And then, you know, even with your, with going through this process of reflection, you want to, you know, take a little bit of time and just learn, you know what I mean? And so let that be this next couple of weeks here, just kind of reflect on the past year, learn some lessons. All right. And keep up all the strategies that you've been using and been working, continue those as well. All right. And then, yeah, next week there won't be a class. And then the following week I will get you, I'll figure something out. So I'll have something for you. So, all right, everyone, have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year. And I will talk to you all soon enough. Goodbye.